They sent you email some of the svarim. Rabbi Bleich began a minig, as you'll see when we get to Hilchishisos, of distributing, which is very helpful, distributing a list of helpful svarim, kitzur svarim on the given topic that we happen to be studying. So he has his own list, but I like to do it for all the other sections, so I emailed you out a list of what I feel are helpful svarim, not only for your limud here in the fourth year, but even beyond, for the topics that come up in contemporary Erevin and just some of the basics of Hilchos Erevin. The purpose of each Chazar Shia for each section is somewhat different. Here in Hilchos Erevin, Rav Shechta assumes that you know a lot before we ever sit down. He assumes that you've already seen the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, and you're familiar with all the terms. So we're going to go over, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and find some highlights. Another purpose that I feel of the Chazar Shiurim is to sometimes Rav Shechta mentions things one year and he doesn't mention them in the other year, so I'll fill you in on things that he's mentioned in years past. And also, what I feel is an important purpose of the Chazar Shiurim is to kind of round out. Rav Shechta has Rav Shechta's Shitos of the Psak that we're going to go with over here in the fourth year, obviously. But you should be aware that of what is Rav Shechta's Shita. And what is sometimes the shitas of other poskim in terms of building Erevin. Because in terms of building Erevin, sometimes we're forced to rely on kulis, and we'll get to in a second why we rely on kulis in building of Erevin. But sometimes you're forced, and it's important to be aware of what others are saying, so kind of like to round out the different shitas that appear in Hilchos Erevin, which I think is important to be aware of. That's also a purpose which I feel of these Chazar Shiurim. In terms of the test, this all should be on the introductory sheets at the beginning of the binder, which you should read. 50% of the test will be from the Shiurim or Chavuras, the Chazar Shiurim with Rav Shechta Shiurim, and 50% will be from the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch. Some of it we will mention, some of it we might not mention, but that'll be the breakup of the Bechina. I'm sure most of you are aware the Bechina is multiple choice, which I don't think really makes it much easier. If anything, makes it a little bit harder. But It's useful in that way. Okay? That should all be available, though, on the introductory sheets. So the first introductory remark, and that's not a housekeeping, the first introductory remark that I wanted to make about Hilchos Erevin is that there are two attitudes or sensitivities out there in different communities with regards to Erevin. It's important to be aware of them and sensitive to them. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin that they used to wash the baby, we're going to learn this in Hilchos Milah, they used to wash the baby before a bris in hot water before and in hot water after. It's kind of an antiseptic. So one time they were performing a bris on Shabbos, the Gemara says in Erevin Adav Samach Zayin, and the hot water spilled. So Rabbi said to Abaye, he said, go get water from a nearby house. So Abaye said to him, we can't go get water from a nearby house because there's no, there's no Erev. So Rabbi said to Abaye, there's no Erev? How could there be no Erev? So the Mordechai there writes that Rabbi was giving him Musar, that part of the responsibility of a Rabbi of a town is to make sure that there's an Erev in the town. And the Tshuvas HaRash has a tshuva where he goes, he talks about a Rav in a certain town who didn't want to build an Erev, and he writes that it's the wrong thing to do because part of the responsibility of the Rabbanim in the town is to build an Erev in the town, as you see from Rabbi's Musar to Abaye, that he asked him, how could you not be able to bring the water from the nearby house? So that's why many feel, since it's the responsibility of the Rav in the town to build an Erev, that we have to do what we can to make sure that people are not nichshol in the Isser of Hoitza, and that we make sure to build the best Erev that we possibly can, but make sure that there is an Erev. However, there's another sensitivity based on the Mishnah of Maseches Erevin, where the Mishnah says, I think Rav Shechta mentioned this, that an ear shall Rabim ein ma'arvin es kuva. If you have an ear, a city, which is entirely made up of a Rishus HaRabim, and then they make an Erev around it. So the Mishnah says, and now I guess it's a Rishus HaYachid, but it was once a Rishus HaRabim, so the Mishnah says you should ein ma'arvin es kuva. You shouldn't make an Erev around the whole thing, because people will forget about the Yisr of Hoitza. They'll never hear about it. They'll never know about it. Before there was an Erev in, before Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, passed away, there was never an Erev across Amsterdam Avenue. So when I was in Yeshiva, there was never an Erev across Amsterdam Avenue. So if you lived in the dorms across the street, you had to leave your key in your mailbox, and then you'd walk across the Beis Medrash to daven. But it was for many boys, and it was hard to go out to eat. It was a whole big deal with the key and this and that. So, but for many people, it was the first time they were ever in a community which had no Erev. They never heard of it before. It was like they never heard of the Yisrael of Hoitzah. They couldn't believe there was such a place in the world that you couldn't carry on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that that is a sensitivity we should have. People might forget about the fact that there's an Yisrael of Hoitzah if we build an Erev around the entire Rishus HaRabim. So that's why the Mishnah says, you're supposed to leave a little bit out so that people remember that there's an Isur of Hotzah. Rav Moshe in his tshuva about Manhattan, building it in Manhattan, so he says, so many Jews come to visit Manhattan from all over the world. And if they see the Jews in Manhattan carrying, walking around the Shabbos carrying, so they're going to think there's no Isur of Hotzah. The Jews in New York are very frum, and they all carry on Shabbos. So they think there's no Isur of Hotzah. So that was one of Rav Moshe's reasons why he was against building an Erev in Manhattan, because people will forget that there's an Isur of Hotzah. Rav Menachem Kasher, in his Shuvah, Divrei Menachem, has, as Rav Shechter mentioned, this Shirim was the one who was the pusher behind building the Erev in Manhattan. So here's a whole kuntras about the Erev in Manhattan. We quote there a letter from Ritzi Pesach Frank, who disagreed with that reason. He said, no, there's a mitzvah to build an Erev on the Rav of the town. You shouldn't be concerned that people will think there's no Yisur of Hotzah. We want to make sure they're not nichshol in the Yisur of Hotzah. These two sensitivities are important to be aware of. So that's why there are some communities where they'll be against building Erevin, because people will forget about the Yisur of Hotzah. Across the other side of the Heights, so the Breuer's community, and until, I don't know, the last 10 years, there was never an Erev over there on that that section of town. Why? So they used to say, because they were machmer for Rav Moshe, Shita, but Rosh Hasharabim, which we'll get to, and you can put an Erev as Rosh Hasharabim, but it's not true. If you look in Rav Schwab Sefer on Chumash, in the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, on Parshas Vayakel, he writes that if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, so we don't take lulav. Why don't we take lulav? Because we're afraid. Zeres Shema Yavireno Daud Amos B'Shus HaRabim. Maybe he'll take a Daud Amos B'Shus HaRabim to a Bucky to learn how to take lulav for Shofar as well. So writes Rav Shabbat, wow, that's such a far-fetched chashash. How many people are going to really take a lulav or a Shofar that year to a Bucky to learn how to blow or to learn how to shake lulav? Most people probably won't. So we make all of Klal Yisrael not take a lulav or not take a not blow shofar that year because of the one guy who's going to do this. So Schwab says, you see, we went out of our way, Chazal went out of their way to be machmir and Hilchas Erevin because so people shouldn't be nishol, and these are the people shouldn't take Hotzah lightly. So right, that's why we shouldn't build an Erevin. If we build an Erevin, then people start taking Hotzah lightly. They never heard of it. They become cavalier about carrying on Shabbos. So Schwab, that's why he was against building Erevin in cities. Anyway, but both of these sensitivities are important to be aware of, and they both have their place, perhaps.
That sounds like a scuffed point, not a halachic point.
If that's the way it appears to you, okay. I'm not here to comment on that. So I would like to, we're going to start by going through Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Mem Hei. At least we'll start that way, going through Shin Mem Hei, and then we'll see where we end up. So there are four Rishuyos, as the first line of Shin Mem Hei begins, there are four Rishuyos on Shabbos. That's true, Midrabanan, there are four Rishuyos. Midoraisa, there are two or three Rishuyos. There are clearly two. There's Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, which we'll define. And then there might be a third. The Gemara in the Bavli writes that there are four Rishuyos, and one of them is the Makom Ptur. Four Rishuyos Midrabanan, one of them is a Makom Ptur. The Yushalmi writes that there are also four Rishuyos, but one of them is not a Makom Ptur. Mabuos Hamufulashim, not Makom Tur. So Menachem Zemba in his Sefer in the Isur of Hotzah called Hotzah Schayim writes that he thinks it's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yushalmi. What exactly is a Makom Tur? Is a Makom Tur a third Rishus Midoraisa? I mean, there's Rishus Hayachid, which has parameters, Rishus Harabim, which has parameters, and everything else is Makom Tur, and Makom Tur is a third type of Rishus. Or no, Rishus HaYachid has parameters, Rishus HaRabim has parameters, and Makom Ptur is just everything else, but it's not a third category. It's just not Rishus HaYachid, not Rishus HaRabim, but it's not a third Rishus. I guess if we were talking in Lamdisha terms, it'd be like the E-Rishus. It's just whatever doesn't fit into any other category, but it's not a form of Rishus on its own, which will have ramifications. Keep that in the back of your mind. What exactly is a Makom Ptur? Is a Makom Ptur just practically, it's anything that doesn't fit is a Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim. But does it have parameters? Is it a third rishus, or perhaps it's not a rishus at all? So anyway, but so there are two rishuyos clearly midaraisa.
What's the thing with makom
tour? Is makom tour a third rishus, or is makom tour no? Just whatever doesn't fit into the other categories, we call makom tour, but it doesn't have parameters of its own. It doesn't have rules of its own.
What would be the application of
we'll
that?
We'll see. We'll bring it up. It's going to be a running theme. We'll see. So there are two or three Rishuyos Midaraisa. Again, Midaraisa, anything that's not a Makom, anything that's not a Rishus HaYachid, which we'll define, anything that's not a Rishus HaRabim, we'll define as a Makom Ptur. At Midarabanan, they took every Makom Ptur that has a Shir Makom. If you look carefully throughout Shin Mem Hei, that seems to be the Yesod of what a Karmelis is a Karmelis is a Makom Ptur that has a Shir Makom. It has Dalet al Dalet. For example, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud says a Yam or a Bika. A Yam or a Bika. are not areas that are traversed. So there's no six. No, nobody walks there. So it's not a Rishus HaRabim, and it's not a Rishus HaYachad. There are no mechitzos. So what is it? So it's a makom tour. Yeah, but it's a makom tour that's Dawud al Dawud. So every makom tour that's Dawud al Dawud, they took that and they declared that as a karmelis. We're going to see midrabanan that has most of the halachos of a Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to carry four amos in a karmelis. You're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to a Rishus HaYachad. So it's treated pretty much like a Rishus HaRabim. We'll get to that further. But it's basically a makom tour that has a sheer makom. Every makom tour, so the only makom tours that we're left with that are actually treated as a makom tour, where you could carry from Rishus HaYachad to a makom tour, you could carry from a makom tour to a Rishus HaYachad, or you can move something from a Rishus HaRabim less than four amos onto a makom tour, or from a makom tour onto a Rishus HaRabim. The only makom tours that we're left with are things that are not Rishus HaYachad, not Rishus HaRabim, and are less than Dalet al Dalet. So I guess a prime example of that in our contemporary settings would be like a fire hydrant. Because it has to be somewhat removed from the Rishus HaRabim. If let's say you have something, the Shulchan Aruch says this in Sif Yud. Yud, Yudalof, Yudalot, all the halachos of the Karmelis. So I think in Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have something in the Rishus HaRabim that's less than three tefachim tall, it's let's say two tefachim off the ground. So that's batal to the Rishus HaRabim because people just walk all over it. They don't know that there's anything there. If it's greater than three tefachim off the floor, so then it's no longer part of the Rishus HaRabim. So what is it? It's more than three tefachim off the floor, it's no longer part of the Rishus HaRabim. So what is it? Well, if it's 4x4 wide, so then now it's a karmelis. If it's we will stop in the Mir Hashem in our Erev tour, you'll see that there are these mailboxes, which Rav Shechter is going to call Rishus HaYachad. Because they might be, those depositories where they put the mail, not the mailbox. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So that has 10 tefachim tall, and maybe, but it doesn't have, it's 4. Oh, yeah, it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So it could be Rishus HaYachad. So those type of things, that could be, if it's so big and so wide, it could be Rishus HaYachad. But if it's not so big and so wide, it's just lifted out of the Rishus HaRabim, so it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim because it's not less than 3 tefachim tall. It's more than 3 tefachim tall. So if it's 4x4 wide, it's a karmelis. So if it's 6 tefachim tall and 4x4 wide, that's a karmelis, not a Rishus HaYachad. If it's 10 tefachim tall, maybe it's a Rishus HaYachad. And if it's less than 4x4 wide, so that would be a makom tur. So that's why a fire hydrant or a parking meter, I guess, would be your classic makom tur. If it says in the Shulchan Aruch over there, in Sif Yod, if it's 9 tefachim tall, exactly 9, so then people adjust their packages on it. That's Meshamish, the B'nai Rishus HaRabim, so it becomes back to being part of the Rishus HaRabim. Let's see, look over there, it's a detail. But generally speaking, anything that's 3 tefachim raised out of the Rishus HaRabim, that's not 10 tefachim tall, it depends. If it's 4x4 wide, it's a karmelis. If it's less than 4x4, it is a makom tur. So that's, we're going to get to the details of a karmelis, but that's the basic outline of how we have four Rishuyos, and that's basically the only makom tur scenario. The only time you have a makom tur is something that's not a Rishus HaYachad, not a Rishus HaRabim, and that is less than 4x4 wide. So we'll start with Rishus HaYachad, then we'll make our way to karmelis, and then I guess we'll make our way to Rishus HaRabim. So Rishus HaYachad, because that's the way the Shulchan Aruch is instruction. So the Shulchan Aruch starts over here in Siv Bei Dezehu Rishus HaYachad. What is a Rishus HaYachad? That's if it's 4 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. It has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. And the Mishnah Berurah there quotes in Sivka in Gimel that there's a machlokas harishon and whether or not the walls are mitzdarif to that shear. Meaning if you have, mailbox. So the inner part is, let's say, 2 tefachim. But the whole thing together is 4 tefachim. So is that called 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim that this should be a Rishus HaYachad or not? So that's a machlokas as quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. Are these walls mitzdarif to the shear of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a pshara from the Rashba that if it's royal lemeinach aleamidi, you could put something on top. Like that, so then up here is clearly a Rishus HaYachad. So on top of the walls would clearly be a Rishus HaYachad. Over here would still be somewhat of a suffix, but those are the two opinions that are quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, but it has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. And then it also has to be 10 tefachim tall. Or you have to have mechitzos that are 10 tefachim tall. And the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that there are three types of mechitzos. It's mentioned over here in Sif Beis. One is charitz, that's a ditch. One is an amud, a raised kind of platform, and the third is just a wall, a mechitza. Rav Shachter mentioned the name of Chacham Tzvi, that we're lemaisa, we assume all of these are mitzdarif. You could have a little bit amud, a little bit wall, a little bit charitz. This comes up. If you use, let's say, a retaining wall around the river as your wall, so sometimes the wall will get lower on one side, but it gets deeper on the other side. So you just went from mechitza, let's say, to now charitz, back to mechitza. This shaiwa does come up. And then those, how many mechitzas do you need in order to be a Rishus HaYachas? So that doesn't say here in Shin Mem Hei. That's later on in Shin Samach Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Machlokes, the Bir Halacha there. Right, the first Bir Halacha in Shin Samach Gimel. Quotes Machlokes, do you need three or four walls? So then the Bir Halacha points out, it's a mistir in the Rambam. One place in the Rambam he says you need three. In the other place he says you need four. So the Bir Halacha distinguishes, I think in the name of the Rashba, that it depends what it opens up to. If it opens up to a Karmelis, then it's enough for three. If it opens up to Rishus HaRabim, then you would need four. That's all there in the Bir Halacha at the beginning of Shin Samach Gimel. Then the Bir Halacha has his Machlokas with the Chazon Ish, which I just wanted to clarify. It wasn't clear. The Bir Halacha says if three walls are enough, midoraisa, so then even this would be good. If you have two walls, kimin gam, that's at a right angle, and then you have a lechi over here, so the Shulchan Aruch says, well, if two walls are enough and a lechi is midoraisa, mechitza, so then you would have three walls over here, and this would be a Rishus HaYachid midoraisa. Midoraisa. If three walls is enough, which he quotes the steer about the Rambam. The Chazon Ish disagreed, and the Chazon Ish said, no, you can't view, that's what Rav Shachter was saying, that in mathematics, we don't imagine two walls like this, but we might, the only time this would then be, which is Ayachim Midaraisa, is the point of the Chazon Ish, is if, this is what the Bir Halacha says, the Chazon Ish feels that the only time that would be, which is Ayachim Midaraisa, is if it would be like that. If it would be less than a 90 degree angle. If it's less than a 90 degree angle, then we would imagine the wall like that. If it's more than a 90 degree angle, or 90 degree angles or more, then we can't imagine two walls.
If it's less than 90 degrees, you need still that third bit, or you could just do without anything?
I don't know. I think he says the Bir Halacha is right if it's less than 90 degrees, but I don't know, we can look it up.
No, because that's what I thought he meant when he said that if it's less than 90, then that's all you need.
But this doesn't work. I think he was saying
fine,
this doesn't even work for that. Even this is no good.
Right.
Yeah. So you need 4x4, and you need that it should be 10 tefachim tall. You need that it should end in this machlokas, whether or not you need three walls or if you need four walls. You also need that the mechitza should be on that ground level. The Gemara says if you have mechitza, she'ena nikaros. Like Rav Shachter's example, say the prime example would be walls underneath the subway, the walls that run along the subway tracks. So those walls, even though the Gemara has a principle that once you have a rishus hayachid, we're going to see one of the unique principles, we'll discuss it in a minute, one of the unique principles of Rishus HaYachid is that if you have, let's say, Rishus HaYachid like this, so the walls continue to go ad the rakia. That's called good asik mechitza. So, the Gemara says that the only time you say good asik mechitza is if you have mechitzos hanikaros. If the mechitzos are not visible, so then you don't say good asik mechitza. So in order to have walls for Rishus HaYachid, the assumption seems to be that you have to have walls that are nikaros. If there are walls underneath the ground that are not nikaros, so those walls do not extend up above the ground, and those walls would be no good for Rishus HaYachid. But we'll get back to that point later. There are a few halachas that are very unique to Rishus HaYachid. Four. If you take, read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, there are four halachas that are unique to Rishus HaYachid that don't apply to the other Rishuyos. The first is the Ramah writes all the way at the end of Shin Mem Hei, Sif Yud Tes, Halacha that you cannot have another Rishus in a Rishus HaYachid. For example, let's say you have a fire hydrant in the middle of my backyard or in the middle of an Erev. So the fire hydrant is not a Makom Ptur. The fire hydrant gets blended in to become part of the Rishus HaYachid. Clearly, you cannot have a Rishus HaRabim in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't go like that. But you can, because then there are people walking. It's not a Rishus HaYachid. But you cannot have another Rishus in the middle of a Rishus HaYachad. But this is not true, though, for Rishus HaRabim, for a Kamelis. You can have another Rishus in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. If it's three Tvachim tall, we move that Rishus HaRabim, and it's less than 4x4 wide, that would be a Mokom Tor. If it's more than 4x4 wide, it would be a Kamelis. So that halacha, which is called Bittul Rishus, that it swallows everything up that's in it, that's unique to Rishus HaYachad. That's the first halacha. The second halacha, which is unique to Rishus HaYachad, appears in the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Vav, that Kerim can be a Rishus HaYachad. I guess if you have like a refrigerator outside, if it's 4x4 wide and it's 10 Tfachim tall, that can also be a Rishus HaYachad. Kerim, though, says the Shulchan Aruch, cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. For obvious reasons, I think. You can't run on top of a kelim. The Shmir Shabbos Kochas is a discussion about a table. Can a table be Rishus HaYachad? The Shmir Shabbos Kochas, I think, from Shlomo Zalman, that it's not a Rishus HaYachad because most tables have legs. They're not like an amud. So there are no walls. So that, but then he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that maybe there are like four tzuras ha-pesachs. So maybe a table is also a Rishus HaYachad because kelim can be a Rishus HaYachad. However, kelim cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. So what is Allah if you have kelim in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim? So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Berurah says, Sifkat and Tez Zayin, that if you have kelim in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim, so if they're less than three Tvachim tall, so they're batal to the Rishus HaRabim. What if they're more than three Tvachim tall? So if it's more than three Tvachim tall, so if, let's say, it's 4x4 wide, so there should have been a karmelis, let's say a refrigerator that's on its side. It's not 10 Tvachim tall, but it's 4x4 wide, in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim, that should have been a Karmelis. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rishonim and the Gemara, Tosas and Rashi, both saying Shabbos, that ain't Karmelis b'kelim. You can't have a Karmelis that's a Kli. Why not? Because a Kli is not Rishus b'fnei Atzmo, that they were Gozer Karmelis on it. That's too flimsy. So the Rishonim all say, ain't Karmelis b'kelim. They were never Gozer Karmelis on a Kli. Okay, so you have this horizontal refrigerator in the middle of Rishus HaRabim. It's not big enough to be a Rishus HaYachid, and ain't Karmelis B'Kelim. So what is it? So the Shaar HaTzion writes, okay, so maybe it's a Makom Ptur. Shaar HaTzion Sifkat and Tezvav says, okay, so then it should be a Makom Ptur. But then he quotes from the Meiri, no, perhaps there's no Makom Ptur B'Kelim. Just like there's no Karmelis B'Kelim, there's no Makom Ptur B'Kelim. And so it should revert to being a part of the Rishus HaRabim. Can't be a Makom Ptur and it can't be Kelim. It can't be a Karmelis because ain't Karmelis B'Kelim. And maybe, that's the Machlokas that's quoted here in the Shaar HaTzion, and maybe a Makom Ptur B'Kelim. What should that Machlokas depend on? So perhaps the Machlokas depends on that issue that we mentioned before. Is Makom Ptur a fourth Rishus that has rules and regulations on its own? In which case, ain't Makom Ptur B'Kelim, just like ain't Karmelis B'Kelim. That's one of the rules. Or no, Makom Ptur is just whatever doesn't fit into any other category. So here, we went through the checklist. It can't be Rishus HaYachad, it's not big enough. Can't be Rishus HaRabim, it's raised out of the Rishus HaRabim, nobody jumps on the refrigerator. And it can't be a Karmelis, because then Karmelis became, boom, so it's a Makom Ptur. And then Shaar HaTzion quotes in the Iri, no, perhaps Makom Ptur is also its own Rishus. And therefore would blend in to become part of the Rishus HaRabim. That's the second halacha that's unique to Rishus HaYachad, is that could even be Bekelim. Karmelis, Rishus HaRabim, cannot be on Kelim, Makom Ptur, is that Machlokas over here in Sifkat and Tezvav in the Shaar HaTzion. The third halacha that is unique to Rishus HaYachad is the halacha of Chorin. That's over here in Shulchan Aruch Siv Dalad. Chorin means like a little hole in the wall, you know, picture like a little pocket in the wall, that just like this room is Rishus HaYachad, so the little pocket is also Rishus HaYachad. How do we have this in a contemporary? We don't have pockets in our wall. You're not supposed to have pockets in the walls. So how do you have this? So the standard example is like a window ledge. That's a Chorei Rishus HaYachad. Or, let's say you have a Mirpeset, a balcony. A balcony should also be a Chorei Rishus HaYachad. So the Ramah there writes, in Rishus HaRabim, there's no such halacha as Chorin. Rather, it's Nidon Kefimi Doseim. If you have a, let's say Rishus HaRabim has, there's like an appendage, I guess, to Rishus HaRabim, a hole in the wall of the Rishus HaRabim. Let's say this over here would be Rishus HaRabim. There's a hole in the wall. So it's Nidon Kefimi Doseim. What does Nidon Kefimi Doseim mean? So the Mishnah Berurah here, Sifkat and Tezvav, explains that we judge, Sifkat and Yud Aleph, that we judge it based on its own measurements. If it's 10 tall and 4x4 wide, so it's Rishus HaYachad. If it's less than 10 tall, and it's 8 tall and 4x4 Tvachim wide, it's a Karmel. If it's 8 tall and less than 4x4 Tvachim wide, then it would be a makom ptura. Then the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Tes and Sifkat and Yud quotes two machlokes in about chorei rishus hayochid. One machlokus, I think, in Sifkat and Tes is, does it have to be 4x4 wide? Let's say you have a chorei rishus hayochid that's not 4x4 wide. How do you have a chorei rishus hayochid that's not 4x4 wide? If you have, let's say, a keyhole. This is a discussion that the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings up. Let's say a guy lives in the neighborhood. This used to be commonplace here. I don't know what it's like now. That people would walk around with their key belts. So they, the guy has, assuming that that works, you have a belt with a key that's the latch that holds the belt up. That was the way you carried your key around with you. So the guy takes his key belt and let's say, gets to his front door. And now he's going to stick his key in the door. So what happens? He's standing in a karmelis, and he sticks the key in what? In the door. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, oh, he just stuck it into a chorei rishus hayachid. The keyhole goes through from the rishus hayachid to the karmelis, and a chorei rishus hayachid is kirishus hayachid damu. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa asks, how is that? How does the key belt help the guy at all? He just sticks his key into the rishus hayachid. That's no good. So how does it help him? So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says, no, maybe that would be true if you lived in like, one of these, old mansions or something where they actually have the proverbial keyhole, which you could see through. But in our keyholes, it's full of mechanisms inside of it. You can't see through. So that's not Chorei Rishus Hayachid. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa claims that's just, that side might be Chorei Rishus Hayachid, and this side might not be, this would be... I don't know, makom tur or something. It's part of the Rishus HaRavim. Nido kfi mido seim. It's a nothing. But it would not be considered a chorei Rishus HaYachid. That's his point. In the old time doors, you can have this discussion. But again, it would also be assuming that chorei Rishus HaYachid is still considered chorei Rishus HaYachid, even if it's less than Dalet al Dalet. If you say like the Mishnah Berurah that you have to have Dalet al Dalet to be called chorei Rishus HaYachid, then the keyhole discussion never gets off the ground. Then the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings up one other issue with the keyhole, which is, okay, so let's say, fine, your keyhole is not a chorei rishus hayachid, and you can stick your key from your key belt into the keyhole, but sometimes, some doors, I think a lot of times they have this, at least in the heights on the front door of the apartment building, you have to turn and push. It's not enough just to turn. Don't turn and then take the key back and put it in your belt. You turn and push. So what happens when you do that is you take your key out of your key belt, standing in a car, and put it inside of the door. That's okay. But now you turn and push the key inside of the house. So you just carried from a karmelis into a rishus hayachid. So the Betzel HaChachma, is a tshuva sefer by Bezalel Stern, who was the Rav in Vienna, in Austria, in the 60s. There's a bunch of tshuvas that I quote. So and then he quotes the Mishnah Berurah later on, that's not in our Chomer, in Shin Nun Beis, Sifka in Yud, where the Mishnah Berurah says that a person is not allowed to carry half a keli from a Rishus HaRavim to a Rishus HaYachid. That you're not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to take the pen and stick it halfway in. But he says from a Rishus HaYachid, from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaYachid, you're allowed to stick half the keli in. That's different than a Rishus HaRavim. Rishus HaRavim, you're not allowed to stick half in. But from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaYachid, you are. So he says, as long as you don't push the key in all the way to the door, you turn it, push a little. So part of the key went inside. But then you take the key out, put it back in your belt. I guess you hold it with your foot or something. You have to be a little talented. So you hold it with your foot, put the key back in your belt. Because you can't put it in your pocket. Then you just carry it from the car most of the house. So you put it back in your belt. Put the belt back on. And then go inside. So then that would be the proper way to do it. Because even though you carried part of the key in, part of the key is not a problem from a karmelis to a rishus hayachid. But then it should be that you can only allow to do this if you have... You don't live in a place that's a Rishus HaRabim. If you live in Times Square, then this wouldn't work. I don't know what you would do with investing in a punch lot.
Yeah. How do we understand the door frame? Does the Rishus HaYachid only begin with the door, or a few inches out of the door frame?
I think that's... Isn't this part of the Rishus HaYachid?
I mean, so... Before,
again, this is different. This is different. No, but this is different. See, a lot of times doors that push in, let's say doors that push in would be most doors that push in. There's no door frame behind the door. The door frame is on the part of the door I think I'm right about that, right? Otherwise, you'd be able to pick every lock by just putting something in. So most times, the door frame on that side, there's no door frame. Where the door pushes in, there's no door frame. So the minute you push the door a little bit in, you took your key.
No, I'm saying that if this was a person's front door going into their house and the door goes into the house.
You know, most of the apartments here, you pull the door out or you push the door in?
But the, also the door to the building, there's a kind of a source of Pesach when you...
But that doesn't hurt. Oh, well, that's B. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. That's the next thing we wanted to discuss. So the end of Shin Men Vav, Sif Gimel. Shulchan Aruch discusses what's the status of the Ramah discusses what's the status of an eskupa, like a little stoop. You know, you walk up a few stairs and there's a stoop before the door. Is that part of the Kamlis? So the Ramah says, well, if it's 4x4 wide and 10 tefachim tall, so then it has the status of Rishus Hayachid independently. Okay, so it's a Rishus Hayachid. But let's say it's not 4x4 wide, or it's not 10 tefachim tall, which lots of times it's not. Or even if it's 10 tefachim tall, but it doesn't have valid mechitzot, it stands on stilts. Which Rav Shechter would hold that that's not a Tzuras HaPesach. That's part of the structure. So if that is stands on stilts, and it's not 4x4 wide, with 10 tefachim tall, so then that would be, the Shulchan Aruch there writes that that's part of the Karmelis. So you can't carry then from your stoop, unless the stoop has the status of a Shulchan Aruch, and independently, cannot carry from the stoop into the house. Can't carry from the stoop into the house. The other, well, why not? Why shouldn't we consider the stoop to be Chorei Rishus HaYachid? Right? I mean, it's a valid concern. Right? You have your house over here. You have a house over here, I say, and a little stoop, and then it goes down the stairs like that, right? So this stoop, if it's not 4x4 wide or 10 fucking tall, that shows the Ramah says that is the status of a Kamlis, and you cannot carry into the house. And then the Ramah continues, well, even if it has a roof, or we might have said Pitikra, which we'll get to, this is next time. We also would not apply Pitikra to this scenario for whatever reason. We'll get to it next time. So the Ramah writes, regardless of the roof, this doesn't have the status of Rishus HaYachid on its own right, you cannot carry it from here into the house. Why doesn't this have the status of Chorei Rishus HaYachid? So that's another Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah here says in Sifka in Yod that perhaps Chorei Rishus HaYachid only exists if it's 10 tefachim off the ground. I think Rav Shechter mentioned that in his place in Tannersville, he has where this is not a Rishus HaYachid on its own right because there's some stilts, and it's not 10 tefachim off the ground. If it would be 10 tefachim off the ground, then maybe we can begin to discuss that this should be Chorei Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because why did I say the Kamos is over here? Why do we view this as part of the Kamos? View it as part of Rishus HaYachid. So you can't begin that discussion until it's 10 tefachim off the ground, perhaps. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. There's two opinions here. Perhaps in order to be Chorei Rishus HaYachid, it has to be 10 tefachim off the ground. If it's not, you can't even begin the discussion. But even if it is 10 tefachim off the ground, so Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that this is not considered Chorei Rishus HaYachid. It's considered part of the Karmos. Why is that so? It's considered you have a big door in between. So if I had to ask you, who uses this more? Who is this made for the use of? Is it made for the use of the people of the house or the people? Is this an appendage to the house? The people of the house just lock the door in front of it. Okay. But it stays open all night for the Bnei HaKarmelis. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that a front porch will never be Chorei Rishus HaYachid, unless you leave your door open all night. But it will never be Chorei Rishus HaYachid, because once you lock the door, even if it is 10 tefachim tall, because it's Mishamish to Bnei HaKarmelis. The only place where you'll have this case where it's 10 tefachim tall and it doesn't have its own mechitzos, so you can begin to discuss it, is it perhaps in the back of the house. Let's say you have a porch in the back of the house, or you have a balcony which doesn't have its own mechitzos, that could be Chorei Rishus HaYachid. Or window ledge. The window ledge is not made for the Rishus of the Bnei HaKarmelis. It's not made for the Bnei HaKarmelis. That could be Chorei Rishus HaYachid. But if it's made for the Bnei HaKarmelis too, and I lock the door in front of it, then you can't call that Chorei Rishus HaYachid. So that's why the front porch is always, if it doesn't have its own status of Rishus HaYachid, by having 4x4 wide and 10 tefachim tall with mechitzos, it's probably always considered part of the Karmelis. That's the third halacha that's unique to Rishus HaYachid, which is Chorei Rishus HaYachid. First one, again, was that you can't have another Rishus inside of Rishus HaYachid. The second one was Kelim. The third one is the halacha of Chorin. And the fourth one is Avi Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid. The upper airspace of a Rishus HaYachid is considered part of the Rishus HaYachid. That's here in Sif Hei, and later again in Sif Yud Beis. That's not true by Rishus HaRabim or Kamlis. Sif Yud Beis says, Rishus HaRabim eina tofesis ela ad asara. Until 10 tefachim above the ground. So, for example, if you would throw, I think we're 10 tefachim off the ground, if you would throw from here, and there would be a window in that building. So if you would throw 10 tefachim off from here, through that window, if this window opened, to that building through an open window, so that would not be an Iser of Hotzah, even if this would be Rishus HaRab. Because Rishus HaRab only goes up 10 Tfachim off the ground. Or if you have like one of those sticky balls, like kids have, you know, my kids have, you throw it at the wall and it sticks. So you throw it at the wall and it sticks to the wall on the other side. That's not considered to be a Hotzah, because Rishus HaRab, or a Kamalus as well, only goes up 10 Tfachim off the ground. But an Avi Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, because the walls of the Rishus HaYachid continue to go out of the Rakia, because of good Asik Mechitzta. That's basically the halachos of Rishus HaYachid. A Kamalist, the Shulchan Aruch and Sifya Dawud, says that it has the kulos of Rishus HaYachid and the kulos of Rishus HaRabim. What do we mean by that? Before, what is a Kamalist? A Kamalist, says the Shulchan Aruch there and Sifya Dawud, is a makom that's not a Rishus HaYachid, that's not a Rishus HaRabim, like a Yam or a Bika, but it has, it's like a makom tour midaraisa, but it has a, it is Dawud al Dawud, it has a sheer makom. Well, why do, what's the difference between that and Rishus HaRabim? Let's say, it's an important question. Let's say you have this area over here. It's not big enough. I guess a Bika. So if nobody walks there, I understand why it's not Rishus HaRabim. But let's say some people walk there. I mean, let's say you have an area, it's Tez Zayin Amah by Tez Zayin Amah. There's no roof over it. There's no walls around it. What makes a Bika a Kamalis and not a Rishus HaRabim? Well, the fact many Rishonim hold you need 600,000 people in order to be a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, but we're going to get to that. But that's a machlokas. Many hold you don't need 600,000 people to be a Rishus HaRabim. So why isn't every Kamalist, that's just like an open space, assuming you don't need 600,000 people to be a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim? So Beis Ephraim writes in a tshuva that even if you don't need 600,000 people, you need minimal traffic. It has to be a trafficked area. If it's just like, you know, it's not heavily trafficked, so then even if you don't need 600,000 people, there must be some minimum amount of people that have to live there that in order to label it as a Rishus HaYachid, in order to label it as a Rishus HaRabim. If there's no people that live there, then that just can't be, that can't be a Rishus HaRabim. So anyway, okay, so it's anywhere that doesn't have the status of Rishus HaRabim because there's no traffic at all. It's an open space, it's 4x4 wide, and has no mechitzos, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, so that's a Karmelis. The Mishneh Berurah on Sifka in Memches, and that Sif Yudawit is what gives all a lot of the halachos of a Karmelis. The Mishneh Berurah on Sifka in Memches says that a Yam has the status of a Karmelis. So he writes, yeah, but if the water has mechitzos around it, if there would be a precipitous drop in the water, so then that will precipitous drop could serve as a mechitza and make the lake into a Rishus HaYachid. He says that most of the time you don't have this. Why not? Because he says most of the time a lake goes gradually in. You don't want people to like all of a sudden drop into the lake. So most man-made lakes, even naturally occurring lakes, are slow. So he's like, you don't have it most of the time. But if you would have a precipitous drop around the lake, that would also be considered a Rishus HaYachid and not a Karmelis. Why? Because Mayim is not Mevatel or Mechitza. Why? Water does not negate the Mechitza that's there. I think Rav Shechter mentioned this. So one reason that's mentioned in the Mishneh Berurah why lakes are not a Rishus HaYachid, they're a Karmelis, is because most slope in. Then the Mishneh Berurah quotes from a Meiri, I think. In Memches, he quotes from a Meiri that also the walls are too far apart. This is like Rav Shechter mentioned by the continental shelf, I think, like that kind of idea. Most of the time, if the walls are too far apart that I don't even feel them, and you have all the other things that Rav Shechter mentioned, all the other conditions, so the Mishneh Berurah says if they're too far apart that I don't feel them, so then that also can't be Rishus HaYachid. You look there, Memchas, he quotes both opinions. Since a Karmelis, in it, yeah. We didn't discuss this. A mechitza can be slope. Maybe we'll discuss it more next time. It's called, you can have a slope mechitza be called, let's say, a hill. A hill can be a mechitza, be called a tail mislake. Rav Shechter didn't discuss this? He did? If you have a tail mislake, which means it goes up it goes up 10 tefachim within the span of 4 amos. So if it goes up 10 tefachim in the span of 4 amos, like that. So let's say this would be 3 amos. And it goes up yud tefachim. So then this would be constituted, which is a yachid. That would constitute a mechitza.
This is like a 23 degree angle, something like that. No, if it goes up within four amos, as I gave the example four, three, because then that's good. If it goes up in four amos, ten tefachim, that's called the tel mislaket, and that's a good machitza. We don't like to rely on them. I think we're going to discuss it more next time. We don't love to rely on this because there's a machlokas in the first class. It's always hard. You always get involved in machlokas. Yeah, is it or isn't it? It's very hard to measure this when you're on the ground, unless it's obvious, you know. You look around, there's that block back there in the back of Washington Heights by the wall with the subway, or it's like, you know, like a great wall.
Or
there. Yeah, so there's no debate about that. Or, you know, the hill over here on the bottom where it's like the free fall down to the river. So, again, no debate about it. But, again, we wouldn't love to use that as a mechitza for an Arab, because it's a machlokas ha-poskim. Where does the mechitza, where do you link up? Let's say you want to link this up with a fence. You're not on an island that's surrounded all by tail and mislaka. You're going to link it up with a fence. You link up the fence here, that way the mechitza begins, or you link up the fence here. No, that's where the mechitza begins. Meaning, does it begin once it's 10 tefachim off the ground, and I start my mechitzas from here and I go all the way around the city? Or no, I start from here and I go all the way around the city. It could make a difference. We'll get to that next time. But yeah, you can have a mechitza that's sloped. But it'd have to be sloped enough, and most of the times lakes are not sloped to that degree. Since a kamalis in its inception is really, since ancestry is really a makom ptur, so there might be a unique halacha with regards to a kamalis. Ramah at the end of Shin Mem Hei Sif Yud Tes quotes two opinions as to whether or not you can have a makom ptur in a kamalis. We mentioned you cannot have a makom ptur in a rishus hayachid. And you can clearly have a makom ptur in a rishus harabim, but can you have a makom ptur in a karmelis? So one opinion in the Ramah is that you can, just like rishus harabim. If it's lifted three off the ground and it's left less than 4x4 wide, it would be a makom ptur in a karmelis. And the other opinion is that since a karmelis is really a makom ptur anyway, and nonetheless there were gozer on it that you can't carry there, so a makom ptur in a karmelis becomes, Shulchan Ramah says, matzah minas mina v'neir. So the Makom Ptur gets lumped together with the Gzeirah of the bigger Karmelis, and when Chazawa goes around this Karmelis, there goes around the Makom Ptur as well, and it all gets swallowed up together, and the Makom Ptur is not a Makom Ptur, the Makom Ptur takes on the status of a Karmelis. And this comes up because the Shulchan Aruch says later on, Shin Mem Vav Sif Aleph, that in order to become Chayiv in Hilchos, for the Yisur of Hotzah, you have to have an Akira and Anacha. You have to pick it up in the Rishus HaYachid and put it down in the Rishus HaRabim. Pick it up in one place in the Rishus HaRabim, put it down in the other place in the Rishus HaRabim. So what always happens is a guy walks out of his house in a place, let's say, where there's no Erev, and he realizes he has a tissue in his pocket while he's walking. So what do you do with the tissue in the pocket? So all the Sfarim have different Eitzahs what you can do. The best Eitzah, one of the Eitzahs is, of course, you can keep walking until you get to the shul. Because then you never stopped, but then if you get to like a red light, you have to keep walking in a circle, and then you get to the shul, then you can put it down in the shul, because you picked it up in Rishus HaYachid. You walk through the Rishus HaRabim, but you never were karmelis, but you never had a hanacha, you never put it down, or stopped walking, which would also be considered hanacha, in the karmelis. You only put it down in the shul. It's not the greatest, it's Issa Midrabanan, but at least you didn't violate, that's less than putting it down in the karmelis, or putting it down in Rishus HaRabim. But the best Eitzah is to walk out of the Rishus HaYachid, keep walking and put it down in a fire hydrant. Because then you put it down from Rishus HaYachid, you never stopped in the Rishus HaRabim, and you put it down in the Makom Ptur. So Shaila is, does that Eitzah, that's the best Eitzah, clearly. But does that Eitzah work in a Karmelis? Because if you're in an area which is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's a Karmelis, it's an out-of-town city where there's no Eruv, and you put it down in a fire hydrant, maybe that's not a Makom Ptur, maybe that just blends in to become part of the Karmelis. So this Eitzah might only work. Maybe then it's better to carry it to the shul. I don't know. This Eitzah only works if you have an area that's clearly a Rishus HaRabim. And then you get involved in Machlokas. Well, is there anywhere that that we really have a Rishus HaRabim that everyone agrees is, I guess in Times Square, if you get caught carrying your tissue, put it down in the fire hydrant. But anywhere else, if there's in a Karmelis, so I don't know if that really is the best Eitzah, yeah.
Maybe it's better if he goes back to his house because then there's no Eruv Chatzeres and stuff, so if you turn it, I mean, it depends how far into your walk you are, I don't know, but isn't it better if you just walk? So another Eitzah is to go back, but it's the same as going to the shul. Oh, because the shul you're taking it for one Rishus Hayachid, then another Rishus Hayachid, then another Eruv Chatzeres.
I think it's from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Hayachid derech Rishus HaRabim. So I don't know if
and
it's different, it's the same
need
one
for Eruv Chatzeres.
No, you're not supposed to do that either. This is not a, you're not supposed to walk outside with a tissue. Right. You're not allowed to do this. What does this issue depend on? Whether or not there's a makom ptur in the middle of a karmelis or not. So that might also depend on what is the status of a makom ptur. Is a makom ptur just, you know, the e-rishos, whatever, can't be anything else, so that's a makom ptur. So then maybe you can even have a makom ptur in the middle of a karmelis. Or no, maybe makom ptur is also its own rishos, very similar to karmelis. So when there were gozer on karmelis, there were gozer on makom ptur as well. It could be that that issue is related to this too. There are two types of a karmelis. We mentioned the standard type of a karmelis is that it doesn't have the lachos of a shesayach, it doesn't have the lachos of a shesharabim, but it is 4x4 wide. That's a karmelis. Or you could have a karmelis, is a rishus hayachid, which they didn't want you to carry in. That's in Shulchan Aruch Shin Mem Vav Sif Gimel. Discusses the halacha of a karpef. A karpef is an area which is not hukaf ledira, meaning that it has natural walls. That's a karpef. It has natural walls. Let's say all the walls we want to rely on in this area are natural occurring walls. So that you can't do that, because those mechitzas were put up shelo ledira. You'd have to make some change to the walls. I think we're going to discuss that also next time. You have to make some change to the walls, because otherwise it's a karpef, means it's has walls that were put up shelo ledira, and it has to be so big, it has to be the size of a beis hasayim, which Lamaisa said, I think the Mishnah Berurah says, 70 amos by 70 amos, which really comes out to be like 125 feet by 125 feet. So I was like to picture like a third of a football field, or half a football field, right? Football field is 300 feet. Like a third of a football field. So it's really not big at all. So if you have an area that size, and it's low hukaf ledira, that would be a karpif. So Mishnah Berurah there writes, a karpif is not a, is a rishus hayachid midoraisa. It has four, it's 4x4, and it has four walls all the way around, just a low hukaf ledira. So Mishnah Berurah says, that was really rishus hayachid, which they turned into a karmelis. They said you're not allowed to carry there. It's not the same type of karmelis as a makom ptur that is a sheer makom. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even though there are two flavors of karmelis, you can carry from one flavor of karmelis to the other, meaning if you carry less than four amos, if you carry less than four amos, you're allowed to carry less than four amos in a karmelis. So let's say I go, I stick this from one type of karmelis into the other, into the karpef. Stick it from the bika into the karpef, or I stick it and put it down less than four amos from the bika to the karpef, that's also allowed. Even though they're really, it's really carrying from a karmelis to a rishus hayachid. That should have been usher. But they felt if they said that, people wouldn't treat this area as a karmelis. They would treat it as a rishus hayachid. They said, it's not really a karmelis, it's a rishus hayachid. Haraya, you can't carry from the bika to the karpef. So because of that concern, the Mishnah Berurah there says in Sifkal Yud Zayin that they treated all of the karmelises as the same. So what is the halacha of a karmelis? Karmelis has the chumra of rishus harabim. You're not allowed to carry four amos by four amos. You're not allowed to carry from there to rishus hayachid. But the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Mem Hei Sifkan Ayin Gimel that of those unique principles of rishus hayachid and those unique principles of rishus harabim, a karmelis has the kulos of rishus hayachid, has the kulos of rishus harabim. So for example, chorei rishus hayachid, which is really a chumra to treat it like rishus hayachid, karmelis doesn't have the halacha of chorei. As the kula of rishus harabim, that it only goes up to 10. It's only tofesis ad asara. What does that mean? A karmelis is only tofesis ad asara. So the pashut pshat, what that means is that the airspace of a karmelis only goes up to 10, just like a rishus harabim. So if you throw from this wall, throw from this window to the window across the way, even though there's a karmelis in between, that wouldn't be an iser of hotzah and Shabbos, because the karmelis only goes up to 10. However, you look later on in Shin Mem Hei Sif Zayin, it's not so pashut. The Shulchan Aruch there discusses the case of a Gag HaBole.
This is what we're talking about now. This is probably the hardest Sif in Shin Mem Hei. The most confusing. In the case of the Gag HaBole is if you have a roof like this, it sticks over like that. So Shulchan Aruch says that what is the halacha of this area? What's the halacha over here? So Shulchan Aruch says that's a karmelis. Why is it a karmelis? Because it doesn't have four walls. Why doesn't it have four walls? Because this wall, this mechitza, is eino nikra. We mentioned before that the only time you say good asik mechitza, Shefley keeps making this point also, is when it's the mechitzas are nikaros. You can only view the wall going up if the mechitzas is nikar over here. So this wall is nikar because if you look over the side, you see it. But if this wall is not nikar because it's underneath the roof. And the gag haboed, the gag goes out like that. Everyone got this as a side view. Sometimes I view it one way and everyone's viewing it a different way. This is a side view. So up here would be a kamalus. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra, I think in the name of Dushalmi, that this area is not a kamalus, it's a makom ptur. Why is that area a makom ptur? So he says, because the Gemara says, ein kamalus l'mal me'asara. So the Shulchan Aruch understood, what does ein kamalus l'mal me'asara means? It means like a Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 tfachim, and then above that is a makom ptur. The airspace of a Rishus HaRabim is a makom ptur. Up to 10 tefachim, and above that is makom ptur. So the Shulchan Aruch understood that's the same thing with the kamalus. But where do you start measuring? You start measuring from over here? No, you start measuring from over here. So the airspace up to here would be kamalus. That's how the Shulchan Aruch understood that phrase, ein kamalus l'mal me'asara. However, the Gra understands, at least in the name of the Yerushalmi, that what it means is, no, not that the airspace only goes up to 10. You cannot have a kamalus that's above 10 tefachim off the ground. So this is above 10 tefachim off the ground, so that would be a makom ptur. That's why the Gra felt over here is a makom ptur, and according to the Shulchan Aruch, over here is a kamalus. Then I think in the Beir Halacha, he quotes a third opinion from Tosfos that it depends. It's three opinions, that it depends. If this is 4 tefachim wide, if this sticks out 4 tefachim, then this place is a kamalus. If it doesn't stick out 4 tefachim, then this place is Rishus HaYochid. Well, why? If this sticks out 4 tefachim, so this place is Rishus HaYochid. If it sticks out 3 tefachim, this is Rishus HaYochid. If this sticks out 4 tefachim, then it's kamalus. So Shechter quotes in the name of Chazadish that it depends on 4 tefachim wide, because it depends whether or not this mechitza is Eino Nikar. How far does this have to stick out for this to be called Eino Nikar? Let's say it sticks out like that. Already it's Eino Nikar? So no. Tosa says if it sticks out 4 tefachim, then it's Eino Nikar. Because I can't bend over and see it anymore. If it's less than 4 tefachim, then I can still see it. So what happens if it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide? So then this mechitza is no longer Nikar, and this becomes a kamalus. That's what the Chazanish explains. However, the Marsha doesn't have that pshat in the Tosas. Marsha and Ramosha have a different pshat in Tosas. But their pshat in Tosas is, no, this area is always a Rishus HaYochid. Because Ramosha holds that what Tosas was saying was that you don't need the Mechitzos to be Niker on top in order to have Rishus HaYochid. I don't need good Asik Mechitzah in order to have Rishus HaYochid. As long as I have walls around me, this is a wall, clearly. It's not Nikar up here, but this is a wall. And this is a wall over here. So this is automatically Rishus HaYochid, even if the wall don't continue to go up. The Gemara said, yes, in order to say good Asik Mechitzta, you need, and this is what Shefta has drilled into us, you need for this to say good Asik, in order to say good Asik Mechitzta, you need for the wall to be Nikar. And if you don't say good Asik Mechitzta, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. And Moshe says, no, it's not so. And that's what the Marashah says also. You don't need good Asik Mechista for this to be Rishus HaYochid. As long as it's the Makom Hamukov Mechitzos, there are Mechitzos here, Mechitzos here, four Mechitzos, this is Rishus HaYochid. Boom. Ah, so then why, how come if this sticks out four Tfachim, it's a Kamalus? Because this has no Mechitzos. And what happens now? If this has no Mechitzos, this becomes a Kamalus. And now this is Nifrat the Makom HaAsalo. This is opens up into an area where you can't carry. So that's what Ramosha said. Ramosha thinks what Tosas is saying is, in order to be Rishus HaYochid, you never need good Asik Mechista. As long as it's a place which is surrounded by Mechista Rishus HaYochid, and when this sticks out four, you can't carry here, because this is a kamalus, and this is Nifrat L'makom HaAsalo. That's the third Shita about this Gag HaBoed. So this is relevant to the discussion with regards to the George Washington Bridge. You know, Ramosha, it's interesting. There's Tshuva about the area of Manhattan. He's machleit that you can't build an area in Manhattan, but it's not for the reasons that we might have guessed. It's for the people going to come to Manhattan, and they're going to say that they can't carry elsewhere, and then he's going to quote another interesting chumra from the Rashba. But Ramosha had no problem with the George Washington Bridge, or with the walls on the side, or with the elevator train, or whatever. The case of the George Washington Bridge is, of course, I think Rav Shefter has drawn this picture a number of times, is if you have, let's say this is the side of Manhattan. That side. And then the George Washington Bridge starts here and goes like this. Right over it. So Rav Shemta said, ah, Rav Moshe thought that this wall goes up through the bridge. So Rav Shemta said, ah, the wall can't go up through the bridge. How can the wall go up through the bridge? It's Eino Nikar. It's like this Gaga Bole. So what is the status of the bridge? The bridge has no walls. So at best, it's a Karmelis. And then Rav Shemta probably would say it was a Rishus HaRabim, because it's a highway. So this is a Rishus HaRabim. That's terrible. And there's no Machitza. So you can't build, you can't even put a Tzuris HaPesach over the George Washington Bridge, according to Rav Shemta, because it's a Rishus HaRabim, and you can't put a Tzuris HaPesach, which we'll get to later. But it's clearly not part of the Rishus HaYachid. This wall cannot go up into the George Washington Bridge. On top of the George Washington Bridge, it's Eino Nikar. So Rav Moshe said two arguments. Rav Moshe said, yeah, that's the Shulchan Aruch. But the Gra's opinion was what? Ein Karmelis. Rav Moshe didn't hold it was Rishus HaRabim. Rav Moshe held the best it was a Karmelis. And Ein Karmelis, L'malame Yasara. What does Ein Karmelis L'malame Yasara mean? That you can't have a karmelis that's 10 tefachim above the ground. If it's 10 tefachim above the ground, it's a makom tur. So Moshe said, according to the Gra, the George Washington Bridge, the whole thing is a makom tur. Because it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, like this roof. And then he said, according to Tosfos, well, the wall goes up to the George Washington Bridge. Ah, good Asik Mechisa doesn't go through the bridge. But you don't need good Asik Mechisa to be Rishus HaYachid. As long as there's walls underneath. Like over here, this is also Rishus HaYachid. It's Makom Mukaf Machitza, so the George Washington Bridge is also Rishus HaYachid. Moshe, 2 out of 3 is not bad. So Moshe spelled, and you can't. So if you can't have a Kamel L'mal Me'asara, Moshe says you can't have Rishus HaRabim L'mal Me'asara. So Moshe said, put a Tzuris HaPesach on the George Washington Bridge, and everything is fine. But Moshe wasn't even sure if you needed a Tzuris HaPesach. He did that to be choshesh with the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. He wasn't even sure if you needed that. That's the story with the Karmelis. In Sif Zion, the Shulchan Aruch begins to discuss what is a Rishus HaRabim. So there are a few conditions in order to be a Rishus HaRabim. The first condition is, in order to be a Rishus HaRabim, is that it has to be Tez Zion Amma wide, like it was the camp. The Machane Yisrael was in the Midbar. That's where we get Tez Zion Amma from. So Bekiva Eger on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and Hilchas Erevin quotes him a Sefer Shvisas Yomtiv, that the sides of the road are also mitzdarif to the shear of Tez Zion Amma. Meaning, let's say, example I like to give is you have a three-lane highway. Everybody knows it's just part of etiquette and living in America is that the left lane goes the fastest, the middle lane goes the slowest, the right lane goes the slowest. So the sidewalk goes even slower than the right lane. But just like the right lane is mitzdarif to be part of the Rishus HaRabim, so to the sidewalk is mitzdarif also to be part of the Rishus HaRabim, even though people are walking much slower. And even though they're traveling in a different mode of transit, these people are driving in a car and these people are walking. Kiva Eger says all of it is mitzdarif to be part of the Rishus HaRabim. In Shulchan Aruch, if you're reading carefully, Shulchan Aruch and Sif Ches and Sif Tes seem to contradict each other. Shulchan Aruch says if you have a Rishus HaRabim, Hamis Katzer. This HaRabim looks like this. Like an hourglass. Wide and it gets thinner and it goes back and wide. So let's say over here is Tez Zayin Amma and over here is Tez Zayin Amma and over here is less than Tez Zayin Amma. So one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is that this whole thing is considered to be Rishus HaRabim as long as this remains 13 Amas wide. If it becomes less than 13 Amas wide, it breaks up the Rishus HaRabim. And the other Sif in Shulchan Aruch says, no, even if it's less than 13 Amas wide, this whole thing becomes Rishus HaRabim. You don't need this to be a minimum of 13. So you look in the Mishnah Berurah tells you it's a machlokes between the two sifim. It could have been one sif with two yesh omrims, but there's two, there's a machlokes here. Does it have to remain 13 amas wide, or does it not have to remain 13 amas wide in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim? The second condition in order to be a Rishus HaRabim is that it cannot be have a roof. If it's Makura, this is all right here in Siv Zion. If it's Makura, then it cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. There's a chaver of mine, Rabbi Tzvi Ram, who has the rub of the Bialystok Shul on the Lower East Side, where there are no Erevin. I mean, Rav Moshe lived on the Lower East Side, so there's no Erev there. But there are two buildings where I think most of the people live near the Bialystok Shul, where it would be nice if they had an Erev between the two buildings. At least they could carry between the two buildings where the people live. So Rabbi Ram made a suggestion of a bunch of years ago to put up lovage strings between the two buildings and make a roof. And if there's a roof over the two buildings, everyone should agree that you can carry, that you can make an Erev there, because that part, at least that part of the street, shouldn't be a Rishus HaRabim. That was his suggestion, but I don't think it ever
I don't think it ever got off the ground. It's an interesting suggestion. The third condition in order to be Rishus HaRabim is that it has to be Mechuvim Mishar L'Shar. So if you look carefully at the Shulchan Aruch, it has to go straight from one gate to the other gate. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and you read it carefully, I think this is in Siv, here in Siv Zion. It says, Ezer Rishus HaRabim, Rechavim Mushvakim Rechavim Tez Zayin Amah Ve'ein HaMekorim. It's not roofed. Ve'ein Lehem Choma. It has no wall. Clearly, I didn't mention it. If it has a wall, that's Rishus HaYachid. That's not Rishus HaRabim. Then the Shulchan Aruch continues, Va'afilu Yesh Lehem Choma, even if they have a wall, Imheim Mefulashim Mishal L'Shar, Havi Rishus HaRabim. If it's Mefulash Mishal L'Shar, if it has a wall. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, the only time you need it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar in order to be Rishus HaRabim is if you have a wall. If there's no wall, then you don't need it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar. Why should that be so? Mishkanes Yaakov and Chaim Ezer explained, because if you have a wall, this is the way many read the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Pashut reading of the Shulchan Aruch. It's because if you have a wall, let's say you have a wall around the city. Let's say the street comes in like this. So if you have a wall around the city, we can make it more pronounced. If you have a wall around the city, so this area, this road, this part of the road is really Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa, because this has walls, wall. So this part is Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa. And this part would also be Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa, because this part is wall. So this part is also Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa. So that's not a Rishus HaRabim. But if there's no walls, why do I need it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar? That doesn't make any sense. The only time the Shulchan Aruch said you need it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar is if you have walls around the city, because then every area is Rishus HaYachid. Like the Chazon Ish's buildings. That you have buildings all around, so the area becomes a Rishus HaYachid. So too, if it's not Mefulash Mishal L'Shar, and there's a wall around the city, so then it's Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa. But many Achronim felt the only time you need it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar is if there's a wall around the city. If there's no wall around the city, you don't need it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar. I think Rabbi Willig explains like this. He is in the back of the Am Mordechai in Hilchos Shabbos. He has a lot of Ha'aris on Hilchos Erevin. I think he made this one of his Ha'aris. However, Rav Shechter has quoted continuously this letter of Rav Shlomo David Kahana, which appears in the back of the Divrei Menachem. Menachem Mendel Kasher's Sefer on Shalos and Chuvis, but in the back is a whole country on the Erev of Manhattan. So he writes, he was a Rav of Warsaw, he writes that the bigger the city gets, the more likelihood there will be that it's not Mefulash Mishal L'Shar. So he seems to obviously be assuming, even if you have no wall around the city, it would require it to be Mefulash Mishal L'Shar. And Rav Shechter has been assuming throughout that you don't need the city to have a wall in order for it to have the requirement of Mefulash Mishal L'Shar. And if that's the case, you'd have to reread this Shulchan Aruch. Many poskim quote in the name of Ramosha Bick. Ramosha Bick was a big poskim in Bar Park. I think he passed away 20 years ago or something. Was a poskim one. He was against some of the Erevin that Ramosha built. More mafmir. So he wrote. he is widely quoted as saying that New York is mafulish biz California. The whole thing is mafulish. Because what mafulish, he understood what mafulish meant was not that it doesn't curve. Not that it doesn't curve, but it's an unobstructed path. So he said you could drive from this street to that street to this street to that street and get to California. So that's what he understood, that Mefulash means it's unobstructed road. Or Moshe, that is his definition of what Mefulash meant, which is totally different. Moshe said, wow, what difference does it make that it curves? That shouldn't make any difference. You can go just as easily. So Moshe said, no, what Mefulash meant is that you'd have to have all the conditions of the Rishus HaRabim, all the components have to be there throughout. If at one point it becomes Mekura, or at one point it becomes less than Tez Zayin Amah, so then the whole thing is no longer Rishus HaRabim. The only time it's a Rishus HaRabim, what Mefulash means, is the only time it's a Rishus HaRabim is if it, not that it doesn't curve, is that it has all the conditions of Rishus HaRabim throughout. What motivated him to say that? Because what difference does it make that it curves? So the Achronim quoting the name of the Meiri that it makes a big difference. As if you're driving around the street that curves, you have to go much slower. Everyone knows you have to slow down. So that's not by Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim is a street you can, like, you know, you can gun it. You can go fast. If you can't go fast, yeah, they're constantly curving and turning and twisting. So that's not Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim means it's straight, because then people can travel easily. So Ramosha's Kasha, what difference does it make if it turns? The Meiri already says that the reason why turning is a big deal is because you can't travel as easily. So Ramosha had his definition of what Rishus HaRabim foolish means, which is that it's is that all the conditions exist throughout. So, but everybody asked in Ramosha, we just had the case of Rishus HaRabim HaMiskatzer, that continues to be a Rishus HaRabim. Well, what is Ramosha going to say every time you have an overpass over a highway? Now it's no longer Rishus HaRabim because a part of it is Makura, so it's not Mefulash. The parts of Makura is Rishus HaRabim, but now Ramosha is saying the whole thing is not a Rishus HaRabim. It's a difficult argument.
According to that Meiri, then even Times Square would not be a Rishus HaRabim.
Times Square is a Rishus HaRabim for a different reason.
No, because there's traffic lights. You can't go in Times Square. There's traffic lights.
No, not only in a car. You can walk at full speed.
Yeah, but there's traffic lights.
Because you have to curve. It's not Mefulash.
Yeah.
Yeah, Times Square is a Rishus HaRabim for a different reason. For a different reason. But now you can't drive anywhere there. I thought it's all a pedestrian mall. Anyway, but according to Rav Moshe, what you get is that even a dead end could be a mefulash. Foolish just means you have all the conditions of Rishus HaRabim. What are we up to? That's three. The fourth condition, in order to be Rishus HaRabim, well, there might or might not be a fourth condition, is the two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch, whether or not you need Shishim Ribo. The first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is you don't need Shishim Ribo. Again, I don't think it means you have 10 people there. It has to be significant traffic. I don't know what significant is. Beis Ephraim doesn't give a number, but you have to have significant traffic. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Yesh Omrim, that you require Shishim Ribo. So the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkan Chav Gimel, writes, since the Shulchan Aruch said it, but Lashon Yesh Omrim, we don't paskin like that. There's some rule that whenever the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Omrim, one opinion, Stam, and the next opinion, Yesh Omrim, that we don't paskin like that. However, the Shaar HaTzion, Sivkan Chav Beis, notes that in the name of the Magen Avram, that the Shulchan Aruch in other places seems to assume that you do require Shishim Ribo. For example, the Ramah, the end of Shin Mem Vav, Sif Gimel, the Ramah writes, Ein lanu Rishus HaRabim Bizman Hazeh. We have no Rishus HaRabim Bizman Hazeh. Why do we have no Rishus HaRabim Bizman Hazeh? Because we have no street that is traversed by 600,000 people. So that sounds like you require 600,000 people. So, the Bi'ur Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah writes that a Baal Nefesh Yachmir Ha'atzma, a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir, that it's a Rishus HaRabim even without 600,000 people. But he thinks Mikra Adin, you can be Mekel, that you do require 600,000 people. But the Chafetz Chaim himself, I think, didn't carry an Erevin for this reason. That, because he was Cheshish, you don't need 600,000 people to be Rishus HaRabim, in which case most of the Erevin that are built in areas where there's somewhat traffic, you can't build them there in the first place because they might have the status of Rishus HaRabim. What does it mean, Shishim Ribo? So the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Shishim Ribo Ovrim Bo Bichol Yom. 600,000 people who pass over, sounds like this place, every day. So Mishnah Berurah Sivkan Chav Dalet writes that he looked throughout all of the Rishonim and he hasn't found this anywhere. Later Achronim point out that there's a Ramban like that, there's a Bahag like that, there's a Beis Yosef named Rabbeinu Yeruchim like that. They need such 100,000 people in this place every single day. But the Mishnah Berurah writes that he hasn't found like that in the Rishonim. The Be'er Halacha quotes the name of the Ritva and the Ran a different, not that you need 600,000 people on this street every single day, but that it should be open to 600,000 people. Meaning, over the course of time, there's 600,000 people. It doesn't have to be that day. I don't know what the time limit then would be, but it means it's open to 600,000 people. So Aruch HaShulchan writes, based on this logic, so train tracks should also be Rishus HaRabim. I don't know if 600,000 people traverse the train tracks every single day, but it's open to that number. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that would also be Rishus HaRabim that has Shishim Ribo. In Shaar HaTzion, in Sivkan Chav Hei, quotes a third shita about what Shishim Ribo means, and he says Shishim Ribo means that you have 600,000 people in the city. In the city. Now, it's important to note that this is a fundamentally different pshat what Shishim Ribo means. Till now, we've been discussing a street, one street, being a Rishus HaRabim. According to what the Bi'ur Halacha is defining, and that's where Rav Moshe writes independently, that Shishim Ribo is measured by the population of the city. So then either the city is all Rishus HaRabim, or the city is all not Rishus HaRabim. The classical discussion of Shishim Ribo was we're discussing a road According to Rav Moshe, no. Shishim Ribo is a discussion regarding the city. Is a whole city a Rishus HaRabim? And if it is, then even the dead ends are a Rishus HaRabim? Or no, the city is not a Rishus HaRabim. It depends if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given point in time. And the city is measured, Rav Moshe writes, by Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. That was the size of the Machane Yisrael. So Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. If you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city, within an area of Yud Beis Mil, then the whole city would be Rishus HaRabim, if not, not. So Rav Moshe says, how do you ever know if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city? So Rav Moshe says on his own, a sociological, I guess, reality. I don't know much about it, but Rav Moshe claims that there are 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 people, the population, are on the streets of the city at any given point in time. So Moshe says if you need 600,000 people on the streets of the city, so if you have 2.4 million to 3 million people living in the city, one can guess or one can surmise that there are at any given point in time 600,000 people on the streets of the city, and the whole city would be Rishus HaRabim. So that's why Rav Moshe felt Flatbush. You couldn't build an Eruv in the whole Flatbush, not because he's judging any one street in particular, but because the whole city is, by even the dead ends, are Rishus HaRabim, because you have that amount of people in that, you know, that density of population within Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil. The Talmid and Rav Moshe, though, asks a contradiction. Rav Moshe with one tshuva to the next tshuva. He writes, you can build an Eruv in Kew Gardens Hills. You can build an Eruv in that part of Queens, but you cannot build an Eruv in Flatbush. So all the Talmid and Rav Moshe asks, what's the difference? How come you can build an Eruv in Kew Gardens Hills, but you couldn't build an Eruv in Flatbush? It's the same thing. So the Talmidim Rav Moshe say that what Rav Moshe felt was that Kew Gardens Hills, you measure the Yud Beis Mil, it has to be contiguous. And Kew Gardens Hills is cut off by highways. So let's say you have a highway that cuts in the middle. Kew Gardens Hills is surrounded by three highways, by the FDR, the LIE, and the Grand Central. No, not the FDR. The Grand Central, the Van Wyck, and the LIE. So since it's all cornered on, the other direction is Hillcrest, which doesn't have that density of population. So it would only be Forest Hills and Kew Garden Hills, where you have that density, and Rav Moshe felt that it's blocked off by the highways, that you don't continue the Yud Beis Mil in that direction. Yeah, so you might need 600,000 people. So those are the conditions in order to be a Rishus HaRabim. Rav Shechter introduced a new concept. It's not really a new concept, though, and that could be that perhaps Drachma, Hokma, Yearly Ear, highways don't need to have Shishim Ribo, perhaps they don't need any of these conditions. The Mishnah Berurah and Sifkali Yud Zayin, Shin Mem Hei, quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham that these are the conditions of Rishus HaRabim. Anyways, and Drachim Ahokam Eir Le'ir are also Rishus HaRabim. Of course, why should it be any worse? So must be, no, it's not that it's any worse, it's better. So the Orchis Chaim Sepinka writes on that Magen Avraham, what is the Magen Avraham telling me? Drachim Ahokam Eir Le'ir could also be a Rishus HaRabim. Of course it could also be a Rishus HaRabim. So Orchis Chaim Sepinka says, what it's telling you is, that is the Rishus HaRabim. All of these conditions, at least this is the way Rav Shechter read all the time, Spinka. So that, the condition, at least, of Shishim Ribo, Rav Chas Chaim says, so that you don't need on a highway. Why? Because a highway, that's Rishus HaRabim, even without Shishim Ribo. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is telling you. Even if it has no Shishim Ribo, it's also Rishus HaRabim. So this point actually was a machlokas between the Avnei Nezer and the Yeshuas Malko, contemporary. It's quoted in the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer, do you need 600,000 people on a highway or not? So Berwilig writes in his Sefer, the Amordechai, and there are many who are Mako like this, that you can build an Eruv over a highway. If it has no success, doesn't have 600,000 people. If it has a Tezai Nama and 600,000 people and it has all the conditions which are around, then you can't build an Eruv over it. But if it's missing the Shishim Ribo, then we're not machmir for the fact that a highway doesn't need Shishim Ribo. In fact, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman Raya against it, because the Ramos said, "Ein lanu Rishus HaRabim b'zman hazeh." We have no Rishus HaRabim b'zman hazeh, all the way at the end of Shin Mem Vav. So Shlomo Zalman says, "What? The Ramos never heard of a highway? He had no draw. How'd they get from one city to the other city? It must have been drachim ahochem eir le'ir." So says the Shlomo Zalman. Obviously, we're not concerned with this chumrah from the Orchis Chaim and the Magen Avraham that a highway doesn't need 600,000 people. Moshe also writes like this. Moshe writes, the only time that you need 600,000 people is in Drachim Ahokam Eir Le'ir. That's the only time he judges the street on its own. Otherwise, it all depends on the city, as we mentioned before. And so many poskim were not machmer for it. Rav Shechter, of course, felt that we should be machmer, that he felt not only, this again is an extension from the Orchas Chaim. Orchas Chaim and Amnines and Shusmako are debating, does a highway require 600,000 people? Some held that a highway doesn't require 600,000 people, some held that it did. Rav Shechter felt that perhaps all of the conditions of Rishus HaRabim, Tezainama, Einu Mekure, all are descriptions of a highway. But a bona fide highway perhaps doesn't need any of these. For example, in the past years, someone has suggested, what about the Lincoln Tunnel? Is the Lincoln Tunnel Rishus HaRabim or not? So Shelter felt, no, Lincoln Tunnel is also Rishus HaRabim. Ah, even though it's Mekura, but that could also just be a description of a highway. But if you have a highway, a bona fide highway, there's a Drach Mahokhme Yerli here. So then perhaps you don't need any of the conditions. You don't need Mefulash. You don't need in Makura, you don't, perhaps you don't even need Tezainama, perhaps the train tracks that are not Tezainama if you have a city which has train tracks that go through it. So perhaps you can't build an Erev over the train tracks. That's what Shecht, I think, has suggested. Even if the train track, most train tracks, I think, are pretty wide. It's usually more than one track. But even if you have train tracks that are not very wide, but that's Drachim, Aholchim, Yearly Year. I don't know if old tracks which have like a cargo train that goes through every now and then. Maybe that's not enough traffic. But if you have a highway, you know, traffic, you know, there's a daily commuter train that runs on these tracks, that's a highway, and you can't build an Erev over a highway. So that's Rav Shechter extended that Orchas Chaim about the Shishim Ribo. Then Rav Shechter extended perhaps even a little bit further. They asked Rav Shechter, they were discussing building an Erev in Manhattan over the FDR. There's an Erev in Manhattan, but I think it does go over the FDR. But that was part of the discussion. Can you build an Erev over the FDR or not? So Rav Shechter felt, no, you can't build an Erev over the FDR. The FDR is also a highway. Ah, all the FDR and Henry Hudson, all they do is go around and around and around. It doesn't go, the FDR doesn't leave Manhattan. So Rav Shechter felt, no, but it doesn't, what highway means is that it doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city. For example, if you have one of these little routes that goes up through the mountains, so it goes from one little town in the mountains to the next little town in the mountains to the next little town in the mountains. So Shelter felt that the part of the little road that goes from one that's in between the towns, that's a Drachim HaHokhem HaYirli here. You can't build an Erev over that. But the part of the road that's in the towns, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. You know what I'm talking about? The roads that go through the towns. And then when it gets to the town, that becomes the main street of the town. And there's lights and there's stores and shops and crosswalks and everybody's using it. So since it blends in to become part of the streets of the city, while it's in the city, it's not Drachim HaHokhem HaYirli here, but once you leave the city, it becomes Drachim HaHokhem HaYirli here again. Rav Shechter felt, if let's say you have a street in the city that doesn't blend in with the streets of the city, there's nothing on the streets of the city, all it's used is for going from place to place, but it has no other use, it doesn't blend in, that's also Drachim HaHokhem HaYirli here, which is a further extension on an extension. So the FDR, Rav Shechter felt, that's also Drachim HaHokhem HaYirli here, because it doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city. You couldn't build an Erev over it. So if you have a highway that goes through a city, it's a big problem in terms of, or it's a big shiloh at least, in terms of can you build an Erev there to begin with or not. But if you have a highway that you close off, it's, let's say it's elevated, and you close off the entrance ramps are not included in this. So if you want to build a highway and the highway doesn't run mamish through the city, it's elevated or sunken or something. So that as long as you close off the entrance ramps and the exit ramps, then you're okay. But it's a big deal. There's one other detail which Rama adds over here that is not a Rishus HaRabim if there are delassos. This is really a little bit later on, and this gets us to the, we'll hold up on delassos, we'll get back to it in 1 second. According to that line of thinking, that the main paradigm of Rishus HaRabim is a highway, it fits in well with the Gemara, because the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that the two types of Rishus HaRabim that there are Sratya and Platya. Sratya, Rashi writes, is Drachim HaHokhem HaYir LeYir. And Platya, what's a Platya? So Rashi writes, is a plaza. So a plaza is also your, prototype, archetype Rishus HaRabim is a big plaza. So when Rav Moshe was writing his Shuva about Manhattan, one of the reasons he was machmir not to make an Erev in Manhattan is because he writes there's lots of big plazas in the middle of Manhattan. Places where there's constant business people walking around, a lot of traffic. And the Rashba, he found the Rashba. It's actually quoted in the Be'er Heitev here. Be'er Heitev in Shin Mem Hei Sivkot in Zion. Quote the Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh. Usually found in Yeridea. But the Rashba writes in the Avodah Kodesh, what the Ber Hetev calls, in the name of the Chacham Tzvi, Chiddush Gadol, which is that a platya, even if it's surrounded by machitzos, even if Times Square would be surrounded by machitzos, the Rashba writes it would still be a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Because that is the model. Sratya, which is Drachma Hochma Yildayir, and platya, plazas. Even if there are walls around it, or Moshe writes, even if there are walls around Manhattan, since there are parts of Manhattan that are plazas, you can't build an Erev in Manhattan. So Shechter felt that was kind of weak. You know, who said we pass like this Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh? It's quoted by the Ber Heite, but Ramosha basically made it famous. So that's a further discussion. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chassid discusses, well, for the Rashba is right, then we're going to be machmir like the Rashba. What about the Kotel? Isn't that called the Kotel Plaza? That is a platya. It's a mamash gathering point. So can you carry there either? Maybe even if there's a wall, there are walls around the whole city of Yerushalayim. But you can't carry there. It's a plaza. So Shmir Shabbos Kol Chassid, I think, calls the name of Shlomo Zalman. It has to be a plaza that's used for business. If it's used for other needs, it's used for davening, it's used for learning, so then that's not considered a plaza for this purpose. So then again, getting back, so the Rama writes that it's only Rishus HaRabim if there are no doors around it. If there are doors around the area, then it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Well, for example, look later on, in Shin Samach Dalet Siv Beis, so Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein Rishus HaRabim Ma'arva, you can only be Ma'arev at Rishus HaRabim B'dlasos, with doors. Sounds like you can't use the Turis at Pesach. The only thing you can use to be Ma'arev at Rishus HaRabim is doors. How many doors do you need to be Ma'arev at Rishus HaRabim? So in Shin Samach Dalet Sivka Invav, the Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions. Do you need one door or two doors? Some held you need two doors, some held you needed one door. Obviously you have to have something on the fourth side. You can't have just three walls. We need something on the fourth side, but do you need one door? Let's say when they built the Erev after Baron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Kivros, passed away, they built the Erev across Amsterdam Avenue, so a lot of some of the Rebbeim and Yeshiva were involved in the building of the Erev. So one of the Rebbeim who was involved in the building of the Erev was Rabbi Telner. Rabbi Telner felt that the Amsterdam Avenue had the status of Rishus HaRabim. So you couldn't build an Erev over here. So Telner insisted that they put up, if they're going to build an Erev across Amsterdam Avenue, that they put up Delasos. Mishnah Berurah has two opinions. You need two Delasos or one Delas. So they put up two Delasos, which we'll see in Mishnah Seminar Erev Tour. I think they're still there. That they have attached to one of the telephone poles on either side, one on that end and one on that end of the old YU Erev. They have canisters that hold nets that run across the street. So they were machmir to have two, one on either end. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Dalet Siv Beis, because he has Rishus HaRabim, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Rishus HaRabim Ma'arva El B'dilasos. If you want to be Ma'arva Rishus HaRabim, you need doors. So they put up doors. But what type of doors do you need? So in Siv Beis over there, in Shin Samach Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. Do you need doors that are closed? And when they're closed, now I understand how doors work, because they're closed. So that's how doors work. They make a mechitza. That's one opinion, they need the lasos nu'ulos. Or the other opinion is, no, it's enough with the re'uyos lino. So Mishnah Berurah over there, I think in Shin Samoth Alos of Kotan Ches, says that we paskin, again, based on the rules and regulations of how the Shulchan Aruch formulated it, that we need the lasos nu'ulos, not re'uyos lino, not that you can close them. You need the lasos nu'ulos. But the poskim, the classical poskim, Avnei Nezer and the Torah's Chesed and the Tzitz Eliezer all say that Lamaisa Bismanenu were Mako with Ru'uyos Lino. Why are we Mako to be Ma'arev with Ru'uyos Lino? Because it's a Sveik Sveika. Maybe we have no Rishus HaRabim because we need Shishim Ribo on the street. And maybe the halacha is that it's enough with Ru'uyos Lino. So since there's a Sveik Sveika, Lamaisa people are Mako with the losses that are Ru'uyos Lino. So that's what they have over here, these canisters, which can open up. I think I've never seen inside. I'm told that they're like these tennis nets that go across. That would be a delas ha-re'uyo lino. What does re'uyo lino mean? So Avnei Nezer says it has to be right to close one time, because the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamis that a sandal shachalitza has to be re'uyo lino. It has to be possible to be worn. The shoe has to be possible to be worn. So it sounds like from the Gemara that it has to be worn one time. If it's worn one time, then it's possible to be worn. So the Avnei Nezer applies something from Hilchos Chalitza to here too. It has to be closed once. It's closed once, that's Re'uya Lino. Well, I say the minig is to close them once a year. The places where they have to close us, they close it once a year. Then the Avnei Nezer and the Yeshuas Malko had another machlokes. What about if the government won't let you close it? Let's say you could arrange with the police department here to close off Amsterdam Avenue once a year at 3 in the morning, and they'll let you close your tennis nets. But if you try and do that every night, they won't be happy about it. So it's Ruhuya Lino, yes, it's closed once a year, but you can't close it any other time during the year. So the government won't let you. So is that really called a Delas HaRuhuya Lino or not? So the Yeshuas Malko felt that if the government won't let you close it, that's not called Ruhuya Lino. Obviously, if you're going to put the losos here, they felt that you don't need the government to give you permission to close them. But many are machmir that you need it to be ruyos lino, that you have to have permission to close them whenever you want. Which makes things a little more difficult. So when they put up these canisters on either side of Amsterdam Avenue, Rav Schechter was against it for a few reasons. First, Rav Schechter felt they weren't necessary. Why are they not necessary? Because he has his chazanish. That if the street is lined with buildings on either side, so it's just a yachin midaraisa anyway. As long as the road at some point curves, and I think if you think about it, well, every road in Manhattan must at some point curve. It's an island, so it must end at something. I think most of them curve anyway at the end. Right? Battery Park, they all come like this, and at the top, I don't know what happens at the top, but they all curve, at least Amsterdam, and probably all curve. So that would be which is a Yachim Midaraisa without it. And then he felt we should be Machmer for the Yeshuas Malko. You have to have Yeshuas from the government to close them, and here we don't have Yeshuas from the government to close them. And then he was against the whole idea of a tennis net serving as a delas. The Shari Tshuva in Shin Samech Gimel, Sifkat and Yud Beis discusses what's the status of a drawbridge. A delas haru'uya lino, that's called a mechitza. It can break up a Rishus HaRabim. Let's say at either end of a Rishus HaRabim I have drawbridges that go like this when boats come by. So is that like dvasos haru'uyos lino? The fact that the road, whole road goes up. So Shari Tshuva, I think, quotes in the Pesachim there, no, that's no good. He has a discussion about it. But I think the Avnei Nezer says in the Tshuva that that's no good. The drawbridge is not considered Delasos HaRuyos Lino. Why not? Because when they go down, there's nothing there. There's no Delas. A Delas means that when you open the door is still there. We can all see the door. That's a Delas. A Delas which disappears. Like when you stand up, there's no more lap. So when you put down the drawbridge, there's no more Delas. That's not a delas haru'uya lino. So Schechter felt the tennis nets that get rolled up in the canisters, that's not a delas either. There's nothing there. When you roll it up, all there is a canister. So he felt that also should not be considered a delas haru'uya lino. There's an important machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer, and this comes up, about delasos. But not so much about being ma'arver Rishus HaRabim, but about delasos in general. Let's say you're going to build an Erev. And I've been involved with two Erevin. This came up. This was a major issue. And they rely on a fence. But in the fence, there's a gate. One time we were relying on a public school fence. Some bungalows have this. The front of the bungalow, there's a gate. So, but the gate has one of those rolling things that rolls to close it. So the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer have a machlok is about delasos that are considered to be a mechitza, even to be ma'arva rishus harabim, certainly to be ma'arva bungalow colony or a little carmelis, that should be considered a mechitza. But do you need that there should also be a tzuras ha-pesach there along with the delas? Do you not need that there should be a tzuras ha-pesach there? The Chasam Sofer said delas in its own right is a mechitza. Even if it's open, delasos are ruyos lino, it could be closed. Sometimes the door is open, sometimes the door is closed. That's a delas. That serves as a mechitza. Even if it's open. And the Chazon Ish said, yeah, the only time it serves as a mechitza when it's open is if there's a Tzuras HaPesach there. Otherwise, if it's open, then there's no residual mechitza. What makes it a mechitza? The fact that there's a door lying over here doesn't make it into a mechitza. And the Chasam Sofer held, no. One, the fact that there's a door that could be closed, this itself is a mechitza, even without a Tzuras HaPesach. So let's say a bungalow colony that has a gate that's still open on Shabbos. So let's say the guy who lives in the bungalow colony, the Nachri who lives there, who's going to take care of all the maintenance of the bungalow. So he wants to leave on Shabbos. He doesn't want to be a prisoner there. So he's going to open the gate and leave. So the problem is, when he opens the gate and drives out, even if he closes the gate when he's done, but the gate was open when he was there. Okay, but it's a delas, like a door to a house. That's a mechitza. No, but when he opens the gate, there's no Tzuras HaPesach left. So according to the Chasam Sofer, that's a good mechitza. And according to Chazon Ish, it's not a good mechitza.
Pshat is machmer that such a delos doesn't work. Rabbi Willig in his sefer Mordechai writes, he thinks there's a whole lomdish of pshat that perhaps and why how delosos work and this night. So he claims if the door is closed, lomais are closed every single night, perhaps it could be make like the chasim sofer. Not that it's closed once a week, every night is closed. We were once using a fence of a public school, so public schools during the winter don't close till much after the shkia. So they didn't close it, but every night they locked the gate. So maybe in those circumstances you can rely just on the gate. You don't need a tzuras ha-pesach over the gate. This sif, and this is the last thing we'll discuss, this sif in Shin Samach Dawud, sif beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein reshus ha-rabim ma'arve elo b'delasos, sounds like a tzuras ha-pesach does not work. So that's why the first task that a person has to do when he's sitting down to make an erev in a community, to judge whether or not you can have an erev in a community, is to first figure out if you have a Rishus HaRabim there. Because if you have a Rishus HaRabim, a highway, this, that, because if you have a Rishus HaRabim there, so the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Rishus HaRabim Arva El B'Delosos, you need doors, and if you're not planning on putting up doors, you're only going to put up a Tzuras HaPesach, so then you can't make an erev in such a, you can't make an erev there. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say Ein Rishus HaRabim Ma'arve El B'Delosos? So the Bir Halach and the Mishnah Berurah have a long discussion about why that's so. So Gemara has a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechista. The machlokas is about a case called Pasi B'Ros.
Just background. We're not going to discuss Pasi B'Ros. It doesn't come up at all.
Pasi B'Ros was a kula which they made for the Olei Regolim, that they should be able to take water from wells. So they made a halacha that there was a well in the middle, that B'Ros, a well, and you put up pasin on the side, like these little L's on all the sides, and you can carry in the middle. So the Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah Erev and the Machlok is, what about if traffic goes through here? Does that break up the Pasi B'Ros? So Rabbi Yehuda held Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechista. It comes by and breaks up the Pasi B'Ros. And the Chachamim held, no, Lo Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechista. Doesn't break up the Pasi B'Ros. It's a Mishnah in Erev. So how do we paskin over there? So the Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Ein Rishus HaRabim Ma'arva El B'Delosos. It sounds like a Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work. So that could be, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitzta. People are going to walk through your Tzuras HaPesach, that's going to break up your Tzuras HaPesach. Or it could be that he paskins like the Rabbanan, but for a different reason. The Gemara asks a contradiction. Here the Rabbanan say, Lo Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitzta, and Yehuda holds Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitzta. Then the Gemara asks, Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha de Rabbanan, de Rabbanan. Because they argue about a case like this. If you have two walls like this, and a lechi. The Rabbanan held, as if you assume two walls is enough midaraisa. There's a discussion in the Gemara. How many walls do you need? We had three, we had four. The Gemara discusses maybe even two. So if two is enough, so you have two and a lechi, so Rabbanan held over here that the traffic breaks up this mechitza. Even though this might be good, midaraisa, the traffic breaks it up. And you can't have such a mechitza like that. Rabbi Yehuda held, no, that's fine. Doesn't cause a problem. Two walls is enough. The lechi is only needed midarabanan. So Rabbi Yehuda held the low asur rabbanan mechitza. Marias over here, Rabbi Yehuda held asur rabbanan mechitza. Then the rabbanan held low asur rabbanan. Here the rabbanan held asur rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda held low asur rabbanan. So Gemara says, low kasha is not a kasha. The only time the Rabbanan hold Lo Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitza is if you have Shem Dalad Mechitzos. You have four Mechitzos, and here you have four. Here you don't have Shem Dalad Mechitzos. You have this. So the Rishonim phrased that in a slightly different way. The Gemara says Shem Dalad Mechitzos, which you have here, and you don't have here. Here the Rabbanan say Lo Asu Rabim, here the Rabbanan say Asu Rabim. So Rishonim say, if it's Mechitzos Brios, like Pasi B'Ros, the Rabbanan hold Lo Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitza. If it's mechitzos gruos, like a lechi, so Rabbanan hold Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitza. That's Rav Shechter mentioned this, but that's where it comes from. So the Rishonim have a discussion. What is the Tzuras HaPesach? Is the Tzuras HaPesach called like Shem Dalad Mechitzos, like mechitzos gruos, like Pasi B'Ros, but the Rabbanan would hold Lo Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitza? Or no, is it like this? It would hold Asu Rabim U'Mevatel Mechitza, like a lechi. So the Ritva says it's called like Pasi B'Ros, it's Mechitzos B'Rios, and we show him disagrees, Mechitzos B'Rios. So it could be when the Shulchan Aruch says that you require
Ein rishus harabim ma'arve el b'dilasos. It could be that he's paskening like Reb Yehuda, that asu rabim mevatim mechitzta, or it could be that he's paskening like the Rabbanon, that lo asu rabim mevatim mechitzta. But a tzuras haPesach is a mechitza grua, not a mechitza bria. But either way, the ma'isa, you can't be ma'arve rishus harabim unless you have the lasso. So the Mishkanus Yaakov felt that when the Shulchan Aruch says Ein rishus harabim ma'arve el b'dilasos, he was paskening like Reb Yehuda. We hold asu rabim mevatel mechitzta, and that's why you need the lasos, and the tzuras haPesach is no good. But the Bir Halacha, in his explanation of how we build Erevin b'zman hazeh, the Bir Halacha in Shin Samach Daud over there, Siv Beis, says no, he thinks that we passing like the Chachamim. The lo asu rabim mevatel mechitzta over here. And a tzuras haPesach is a mechitza bria. Why do we require dlosos? Midrabanan. Midrabanan, we're machmir for Rabbi Yehuda that asu rabim mevatel mechitzta. That says that's why the Rambam held that you could get away with dlosos haru'uyos lino. Dlosos haru'uyos lino, that's a garnished. What does dlosos haru'uyos lino do for you? So Bir Halacha says, no, we really paskin like the Chachamim. Lo asu rabim mevatel mechitzta. The answer is a pesach is like pasi biros. It's not like that case with the Lechi. It's a mechitza bria. Bavid Rabbanan, we're machmir for Rabbi Yehuda that also rabim mevatel mechitzta. So the Beir Halacha says, if that's the pshat, then perhaps we could be makel to build an erev wherever there's no shishim ribo. Because some rishonim hold in order to be rishus harabim, you need shishim ribo. And since this whole, really every erev you should be able to build with tzuras haPesach, really you should be able to build midoraita according to the Halacha, an erev around the rishus harabim with a tzuras haPesach. Midrabbanan, we're machmir for Rabbi Yehuda that also rabim mevatel mechitzta. So Mr. Bruce says, okay, on that din the Rabbanim, we could be makel, like the Rishonim who hold, you need Shishim Ribo. That's how the Mishnah Berurah gets to bottom line. We hold that if there's Shishim Ribo and you have Rishus HaRabim that's bona fide with 600,000 people, you can't build a Rishus HaRabim with just Rishus HaPesach. Why not? Because we're machmir mid the Rabbanim for Yehuda's opinion that also Rabim mevatel mechitza. That's why. Even though Rishus HaPesach is really a mechitza bria, and we could really make her then pass like the Rabbanon that you could be Meharv even Rosh Hashanah with Tzuras HaPesach. Because lo asu rabim vatim the Rabbanon were machmer like Rabbi Yehuda that asu rabim, and that's why Lamai say first you have to make sure that your area has no, we want to build an area, has no area where the Rosh Hashanah with has 600,000 people. Because mid Rabbanon were machmer for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that asu rabim vatim mechitzta. The Mishkanus Yaakov felt you couldn't build an Erev anywhere, because the Mishkanus Yaakov felt with Tzuras HaPesach that we pass on Rabbi Yehuda that also Rabbim Mevatel Mechitzta. Okay. Against with the Bira, the Mishnah Berurah said we only machmer for Rabbi Yehuda midrabanan. The Mishkanus Yaakov felt that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskin, Mikra Adin. And the Beis Ephraim and the Chazanish felt that we didn't paskin. The major machlok between the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanus Yaakov was on this issue. The Mishkanus Yaakov felt we pass on Rabbi Yehuda also Rabbim Mevatel Mechitzta. This should be no better than a tzuras, no worse than a tzuras pesach, no better than a tzuras pesach. And the Mishnah, the Beis Ephraim disagreed and said, "No, we pass like the Rabbanan, lo asu rabim mevatel mechitzta, lo asu rabim mevatel mechitzta." So why can't I build? Why is ein rishus harabim ma'arve elo b'dlasos? Because the tzuras pesach is mechitza grua. I think Rav Shechter presented it in that way too. But really, we pass in lo asu rabim mevatel mechitzta. But even the Rabbanan have their limits. A lechi. Here, in this case, the Rabbanan say, also Rabbim Mevatel Mechitzta. That's what the Gemara is a contradiction. Kasha the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. So the we really paskin, no, also Rabbim Mevatel Mechitzta. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say, Ein Rishus HaRabim Arve Elbe Delasos? Because Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Grua. That's why you have to make sure that you have no Rishus HaRabim Daraisa in your area. Because if you have Rishus HaRabim Daraisa in your area, Tzuras HaPesach can't help you because the Mechitza Grua. And we'd say, Asu Rabim Umevatel Mechitzta. So then, how then do we build our Erevin? So again, we mentioned before first you make sure you have no Rishus HaRabim, and then your Tzuras HaPesach should be okay. But we mentioned before that the Gemara has a contradiction. The Rabbanan here say, Asu Rabim, and the Rabbanan here say, Asu Rabim. There is also a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Here Rabbi Yehuda said, Asu Rabim Umevatel Mechitzta, and here Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo Asu Rabim Umevatel Mechitzta. So how did the Gemara resolve Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? So the Gemara says, no, over here is different. Because over here, you need all of these mechitzos midoraisa. So when you're dealing with a mechitza midoraisa, and the traffic goes through a mechitza midoraisa, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was also Rabbi Mevatel Mechitza. Here, Rabbi Yehuda holds, really all you need is these two walls.
midoraisa. This is only necessary midorabanan. So Tosa says when only you need a wall, when you only need the wall midorabanan, even Rabbi Yehuda would never say asu rabim umavatam mechitza. And the only reason Rabbanan disagreed over here because they held you need this midoraisa. But if all you would need this, they're arguing about do you need two or three. But if you would only need this midorabanan, everyone agrees you never say asu rabim umavatam mechitza. That's what Tosas writes. So based on that, Rav Shefa had Mordechai, and this is what the others say also, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Aruch HaShulchan all say, that once you know an area is a karmelis, once you declare it, it's no longer Rosh HaRabim, it's a karmelis, even Rabbi Yehuda, nobody would say, Asu Rabim Umavatam Mechista. Besides the fact that we probably pass on like the Rabbanon, but lo Asu Rabim, but even without that, nobody holds Asu Rabim Umavatam Mechista. It's unclear what the Shulchan Aruch held, but nobody holds to say Asu Rabim Umavatam Mechista when the Mechitza is only necessary in the Rabbanon. So that's why the first job that you have to do when you're sitting down to build an Erev is to make sure that you have no areas that are Rishus HaRabim, and to make sure everything is a karmelis. Okay. Shkach, Hashem, this Sunday is our...